This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do, from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstance, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the hardest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Please join me, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and other Game Wardens on our adventures, protecting wildlife, saving lives, and having fun, all while serving the public and the natural resources of our planet. Listen to the tales and experience of those who work in the outdoors while being entertained with stories about encounters with poachers, wildlife investigation, murder investigation, near-death experiences, search and rescue missions, wildlife interactions from game wardens around the country and around the world. When I retired, I realized I couldn't let go of that legacy, but rather wanted to share the passion, the commitment, and the stories of those men and women that call themselves game wardens. This is Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch.
Warden's Watch, episode 114, Operation The Root of All Evil, investigation into the world of illegal ginseng. On this Warden's Watch, we sit down with investigator Kurt Kiefer for Ohio DNR, and we delve into an operation Ohio did. It was just recently adjudicated, the whole case, and there were several press releases that were put out there. Another thing that's timely. So here we go into September, which is prime ginseng picking season, as we are going to learn in this podcast. So keep your eyes and your ears peeled for those ginseng poachers. But before we do that, I was on Audible the other day listening to a book. I queried Warden's Watch and didn't realize I was on Audible as well. So I saw a few reviews there. So if you have Audible and that's how you listen to Warden's Watch, great. I appreciate it. And if you could throw a few more reviews on there, that would be kind of neat. So I'm going to read these. One's a couple years old, and one's like 10 months ago. So the 10 months ago is by an anonymous user. Best podcast about game wardens and their work they do. That is out there. It's awesome. Thank you very much. So, and this one's from Kevin. Sorry, it's a little old, but it's 2 years. Wayne is the best. You can literally feel his passion in every podcast. Keep it up. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that. Here we sit down with Kurt Kiefer in Ohio, and we learn all about ginseng. So I think you're going to really like this one. Very different, very informational based, and what a great investigation into the root of all evil. So share Warden's Watch with your friends. Like minds, listen to like podcasts. Appreciate it. Enjoy this one. Brought to you in part by Maine Operation Game Thief, New Hampshire Wildlife Heritage Foundation, International Wildlife Crime Stoppers, and the North American Game Warden Museum. In this Warden's Watch, we're sitting down with Kurt Kiefer of Ohio DNR. And Kurt is a special investigator for the department. Maybe you're not a special one. I threw that in there. You're special to me, Kirk. So if that isn't in your title, I gave it to you.
I've been called a lot of things, so I'll take special.
Okay. So, but I just love when I learn about stuff. And that's one thing podcasting and Warden's Watch certainly has done for me is open my eyes nationwide to a lot of different things that are outside of New Hampshire, outside of New England. And this one, actually, we just did a little search on the map, and it was in New England, but we don't license it or regulate it. But it is highly dealt with in some of the areas, including Ohio. So, and what I'm talking about is ginseng. And ginseng is a, and Kurt's going to go into this, but basically it's a plant and people dig up the root for its medical properties. And it's highly sought after and very valuable for sure. Getting into those ends like elvers, when elvers come into value of elvers, and that's the little glass eels that we talk about, elvers on the East Coast too. But ginseng's right up there. And Kurt did an investigation that's a pretty interesting investigation that I'm sure you're going to enjoy. And I just asked Kurt the name of the investigation, and it was just kind of cracked me up. Because the investigations always have snazzy names or try to. If you guys remember Ron Olas from Ohio as well, we talked about the North Shore, but it was the North Coast undercover operation in Ohio too. And this operation, the ginseng operation, is the root of all evil operation. Was that right, Kirk?
Yep, root of all evil.
The root of all evil, which again, the root of the ginseng plant. So snazzy stuff for names, for sure. And I just cracked me up. I was laughing coming into the podcast over the root of all evil. But getting down to ginseng, Kirk, can you talk about ginseng? Again, my knowledge is pretty limited on this, and maybe some of my listeners are, and maybe some of them are very versed in ginseng. But if you can give us an overall kind of a look at the ginseng, the plant, and its properties.
Yeah. I like to liken it to, you mentioned elvers on the East Coast, maybe abalone on the West Coast, bear gallbladders for Montana, something kind of unique that we're responsible for and that we need to protect as a natural resource. You know, one of the things Ohio has is ginseng. So we were given the statutory authority for it in 1999. And quite frankly, before that, it wasn't ever really enforced. Ginseng in and of itself is sought after with the Asian community for medicinal purposes. Shark fins, similar to bear gallbladder. They believe it holds special properties, whether it's a cure-all or for energy or for sexual purposes. That's kind of the market that drives the value up. But it just grows wild in the woods. It's a shade species, does not like the sun. The issue with it and why it needs so much protection is it's slow growing. In Ohio, it's about 5 years until it is reproducing on its own. And then the only thing that's been documented actually transporting the seeds and moving it is a thrush. They'll eat the seed and regurgitate it like an owl pellet. But other than that, it's just normal wind, water, gravity from the top of a hill to the bottom. And that's how it gets distributed. So it's CITES protected. So it has international protection. It's Appendix 2. which a lot of people know elephant ivory. That would be like appendix one with the most protection. Ginseng is appendix two, and mainly that's because of the value placed on it. It needs to be regulated because of the value to protect it, to keep us from over-harvesting and, in essence, losing it forever. I mentioned value. If on a given year, very market-driven, but on a given year, if you find about 300 ginseng plants, you're going to get $600 to $1,000. So we're talking pretty good money.
Right. And it seems like this
$15 an ounce.
The soil, because I mean, doing a little research here, and because I wondered, because I have never run into ginseng in New England, and it's present in all New England states, but it is rare. So, and it is protected as well. So that's probably, we probably have too few plants for people to really take it seriously. But it seems like that stretch, you know, Ontario seems to be the biggest producer of it in the world, and that kind of that's just above you, so it's kind of a big old strip, and I imagine it's, you know, based on a soil property why it grows and grows better in your country.
Yeah, it's actually a fascinating little plant. The seed will take 18 months to germinate. I'm just getting into some of the plant biology. It's got a layer on it that has to go through a freeze thaw cycle. So if it produces a berry, it doesn't get poached and drops that seed, it's a year and a half until it sprouts. And then, like I said, in Ohio, I imagine it's even longer up in Ontario, it's about 5 years until that plant's producing its own berries, reproducing.
Wow.
So it's a definite commitment. People that have patches that protect them, harvest the, you know, the cream of the crop off of them, for keep going back every year, you know, they're decimated when they go in there and they find out somebody found their patch and took everything.
Yeah. No, I can see where that would devastate a whole population, slow growing. Very similar to wild animals, you know, that's that wildlife cycle that takes time. And when people poach illegally, it throws off the management of those species. Hence, it's a long term to recuperate. And it sounds like it's even longer with ginseng.
Yes. I associate it with theft cases. Mm-hmm. And we went on a huge information spree with judges, prosecutors, probation officers, other agencies, sister agencies, our own agency, and educated people on this to the point now where if you get caught, you're going to jail, which the results of this case, I think we ended up with almost 6 years of actual jail time served, which around here is unheard of. You know, we kind of targeted the drug crowd, meth and fentanyl epidemic that's going through. That crowd found out that this stuff's worth money and learning it and stealing it for their drug money. So,
And it seems the same with Elvers. When there's quick money to be made, it seems like that drug culture comes into it to make a quick buck, to turn it around, and whether they're using drugs or buying drugs or whatever, it seems like the same type of people interact with, you know, quick wildlife gains.
Yeah.
For sure. Talk about the prongs on a ginseng plant.
Well, the prong, like our law specifically states, it must be a three-prong plant in order to dig it. So what that means is leaf. And then each leaf actually has five leaflets. So if you see five what most people would call leaves, that's one leaf on a ginseng plant. And that's how you can kind of associate with age and the health of the plant. So a one prong, which is a one leaf plant, it's going to be a relatively young, fresh one. Two prong, two leaves, a little bit older, but not to where you can harvest it yet. And then the three or four prong is like a mature, what we call the mommy or daddy plant, that's going to be reproducing and adding to the population. But you probably brought that up because we kind of did a play on words with our operation, to where we had different prongs of the investigation. We had three of them. Yeah. I actually had four, but they made me stop.
Does a plant normally have four prongs, or are they can?
Yeah, you find four prongs. I mean, I dabble in the ginseng world. It's not uncommon, but it's also not common.
Uh huh.
Most of the time, it's three prongs.
Yeah. But this is an uncommon case, too, so it certainly could have gone to the four-prong ginseng
case. Oh, I wanted to, but yeah. I mean, we from the jump, I begged and pleaded for 2 years, and that's what they gave me. If COVID wouldn't have hit, they probably would have let me go just from the success. But yeah, the country more or less shut down, so we were already shutting down anyway, but... My fourth prong, well, the first prong, we sold ginseng, and we did that in a group of officers. This was a whole team effort, too. This just wasn't the Kurt Kiefer show.
Yeah.
With the Division of Wildlife and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But we had a core team of people we called Prong One that sold ginseng in a covert capacity. And then we went in and audited our dealers.
Basically trying to find the ginseng that you sold.
Yeah, we purposely used a set amount of ginseng. So I knew all of our undercover officers' names, fake names. So I could look at all these papers because our program is real heavily based on records. So I could pull out any record at any given time, see our people's names, and then I would look for how much the dealer had reported they bought from them. And I could tell almost instantly, did they add weight to it? Did they change that number? And there's all kinds of reasons why they would do that, but typically they would do that to cover illegal ginseng because you can't export it unless you have a record that you bought it from somebody.
Mm.
And there's no point in buying ginseng if you're not going to export it because 98% of all ginseng goes to Hong Kong.
Okay.
And kind of gets distributed from there. So it's kind of like an audit. We knew how much we sold, and then when that paperwork came in, we seen how much they said they bought.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't stop there with prong one. We could have, but you've known me long enough now, Wayne. I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't know the right word, but
yeah, we always hedge our bets. And I think that's a lot of undercover game wardens like to hedge their bets, or maybe a lot of undercovers for that matter. You can see,
I'm not undercover.
You
do undercover. I'm more overt.
You're more of the manager for the undercover operations. Would that be correct?
I kind of was for this case.
Okay.
But I also participated in it.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about this for weeks, but.
Yeah, we could.
Now I lost. Where were we?
We were on prong two. So we were getting into our second prong because you could have left it at prong one, but we didn't. We're going to go to prong two.
The dealers that bought ginseng out of season,
mm-hmm.
The dealers that we caught changing records.
Okay.
We didn't stop there. We went back to them and sold to them illegally. That way they had no excuse. That way they couldn't say, I put that on the wrong line or I scribbled in the wrong thing. And that was my paperwork mistake. So we didn't give them that excuse. We went to them and then sold to them illegally. And then
so you saw a problem initially, and then you wanted to make sure it was a documented problem, that it wasn't a mistake, basically. You kind of wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt, so you went and sold them outside the buying season, I'm taking. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. I wanted to take away any of their bullcrap excuses.
Gotcha.
Because I've seen many people go into court and just lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we didn't just get them on a paperwork violation.
Right.
We went in and actually got them on illegal sales because that's why they're doing it.
Right. That gave you an indication which guys are doing it and which guys to approach.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. And then my dream for all this was to hit them with warrants on takedown day, which we did. And we took their scales. We took their cash. We took their ginseng because we proved that they're violating our laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we also had to go back in and do that to freshen up the search warrant information because, you know, I mentioned that this was a 2-year case, but in reality, it was about a year's worth of work because we were starting in July, season starts in September, and by December, we're shut down.
Gotcha.
So we did 2 6-month stints, but it covered on the calendar 2 years. But yeah, this was, I always wanted to do this once we started doing ginseng cases. They're very hard to make. You need cash instantly. You need a vehicle instantly. You need ginseng instantly. And you can't always have them things, especially when you're running around covering multi-counties for your area of responsibility, plus going across the state on other different cases and doing trainings and all that. So we kind of went on a educational blitz, probably starting back probably about 10 years ago. We started a ginseng training. And probably 8 years ago, and started educating all these people with my brainchild was we were going to do this someday, because at the time they wouldn't let us do a ginseng operation.
Right.
Unfortunately, there were some within our ranks that feel since it wasn't a wild animal, we didn't want to really commit that much time. But the reality of what we were seeing was it's the same people that are violating our game laws are also in this world. And plain and simple, it's the statutory authority was given to us. So it is our responsibility, regardless of what you think. But I'm going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, no, and certainly money, resources, and I'm sure there are local people that go out and harvest their ginseng and use it themselves. So again, just like any other wildlife, for sure, it's a similar thing, because I'm sure ginseng is probably in the Appalachian tradition. I gotta believe it.
I know of numerous people that they rely on ginseng every year to buy their kids' birthday presents or to buy their Christmas. And very good people, and I've had them call me, and they're devastated when somebody has found their ginseng. Because they took everything. They took the young stuff, the 1 year old stuff, and in essence, they have to start over. And I mean, they're devastated. They were stole from.
Right.
So prong one, bought ginseng.
Mm-hmm.
Or sold ginseng.
Sold ginseng, and they bought it. So and then we did a records check to see if they were playing games. And then was prong two also. You know, you going and selling illegal, that was the next prong, right?
Yeah. Prong two was we had a fake business that we set up.
Okay. So part of prong one was going, once you identified those people that their records were incorrect, then you sold them illegal ginseng outside the time frame.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. It involves selling, and it ended up working out really good because we got all these three ring binders of all the money. So prong one was anything to do with selling. The core of that was selling to our licensed dealers within the state of Ohio. But like if I found out there was an illegal buyer, I would send somebody in to do an illegal sale.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we flipped somebody with prong three, they would go do a sale in prong one. It was just how we kept track of it. But that in essence, prong one was selling ginseng.
Mm.
Prong two was buying ginseng. So we set up a fake business, and we had signs made. We had business card. We had magnets for the side of the trucks. We had flyers. We had phone numbers. We used some, a lot of different ways to try to get our word out. But we in essence created a fake business and bought ginseng. And we were able to do that mainly because we jumped on board with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Originally, Joe Wells was the case agent with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but he ended up going to Tennessee. So our longtime resident agent in Ohio was Errol Walgamuth. He ended up taking over, worked pretty much the case from then on out, hand in hand with me. But yeah, we went and just bought ginseng. And it was so out of control that the second year, we only bought illegal ginseng. Just from talking to people on the phone. You know, if it was September 1st and the phone's ringing all day because everybody wants to know, what are you paying? I didn't have a lot of involvement with prong two. It was one of our other investigators, Joel Buttermeyer, which you know Joel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Nashville. Well, actually, he was just out in Utah. Him and Errol, they kind of took that and just ran with it and did an excellent job. But they would call and say, what are you paying? And they'd say, whatever. They'd say, hey, do you have any dry? Well, you can't sell dry until the 16th of September because you can't dry it in a day. It takes a couple weeks to dry.
Gotcha.
And they'd be like, yeah, I got dry. So they'd be like, well, we need dry for an order we got to get out. Like, we want your dry. So they would set up a sale and go buy it illegally.
That's a 16-day window, though. That's a lot of business in 16 days.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's like in the ginseng world, it's so clear that then people dug out a season because there's no way you can have dry ginseng on September 1st.
Yeah.
To a lay person, somebody sitting in their car listening to this, they're thinking, oh, well, they're just playing with 2 weeks on the calendar. It's bigger than in the ginseng world. If you have dry ginseng on September 1st, you were part of the problem. Like, there's no way you can do that. The way you dry it, I mean, some people could put it in the oven or put it in the dehydrator, but the best way and the preferred way is just to naturally let some airflow on it, separate it, and let it dry slow. And that takes about 2 weeks. So, and they did a lot of out-of-season sales too. You know, they would run around, hang flyers for people to call them, and they would run into people that would have ginseng in their pocket and they'd buy it from them. You know, so we added them to the list. And, on takedown day, we kept our phone numbers active. We were setting up sales of ginseng the day of the takedown and had people bringing us illegal ginseng to sell us in different parking lots. And we didn't even have officers to contact them. Because we ended up using, I think, 82 commissioned officers in the state of Ohio for our takedown day.
Another big operation in Ohio.
And Joel's going crazy because he's like, there's another one. And it's like, tell him where to meet. We'll find somebody. Like,
yeah.
So that was pretty crazy. But yeah, prong two was we bought ginseng. And then prong three is when we made ginseng. Ginseng cases. We got really good in Ohio at making ginseng cases. We would flip the people, allow them an opportunity to work for us for a reduced sentence. And, you know, we did that with prosecutors and in the courts, all with approval in our administration. There's actually a lot of work to it, but we kind of refined the process and had it ready to go, which was always one of the problems originally with ginseng enforcement was signing somebody up as a, we call them cooperating private individual. Our agency didn't do it a lot for some reason, and we were really missing the boat. So we did that, and it worked. It worked like a charm. So we were executing search warrants, hitting drug houses and all kinds of stuff during the 2 years. We didn't save all them for our takedown, more or less, with prong one and prong two. We were continuing to make the prong three cases through that 2 years. Part of what we were calling the operation. But yeah, we got into a death investigation. We got into, like I said, people with meth, trading meth for ginseng. We didn't go hit them houses. We let drug task force officers go hit them, you know, blow the doors off the houses and stuff with search warrants. So outside our privy, but we'd go with them.
Yeah.
But we'd stay outside. We did GPS warrants. We did GPS tracking warrants. We'd smack them on some people's cars and follow them across the countryside, trying to figure out who their illegal buyer was. We got into welfare fraud, just, I mean, you name it, and it kind of ballooned into it. But it was pretty crazy investigation.
Yeah.
God bless my wife. I mean, I worked. It was nonstop for them to, well, for 6 months of them 2 years.
So pretty much a year out of two. You were working total ginseng from sunrise to sunset.
Anything ginseng across the state was coming to me, and I was trying to handle it myself or divvy out. And then we went into six different states. You know, I did a lot of that where we would go into other states and do covert sales that were all illegal, whether it was Pennsylvania, West Virginia, whatever. Joel did one for me in Indiana just because I didn't want to drive that far.
He was closer. He went
and played me in Indiana. Kentucky, Virginia, New York.
So these other states got some cases out of it as well.
No, we did them federally.
Okay. So the feds took all of that.
We did an actual federal search warrant in West Virginia. There was a TV show on the History Channel a couple years ago. For two seasons. It was called Appalachian Outlaws. One of the people that was on that show got caught up in this investigation, and I actually sold to him in an undercover capacity 3 years. And yeah, we did a federal search warrant on his place.
Nope, that sounds good.
Actually, just recently sentenced like a couple weeks ago.
Hmm. Appalachian Outlaws. So that must have been moonshine, ginseng, poaching, all kinds of stuff.
All ginseng. All ginseng.
Oh, it was all ginseng.
Yep. Whole show was about ginseng.
Hmm. Interesting, for sure. From
it
the
actually
other side.
Brought a lot of people out of the woodwork for a couple of years because people didn't realize how much money was into it. But a lot of agencies think it created problems, but I think it actually helped because we had already been on this information blitz with the dream of doing this operation for years. But a lot of people would catch these people and they had no idea what they were doing because they'd say, I'm looking for my dog. Like, well, it's the middle of August. Like, who the heck would be walking through the woods? It's full of spider webs. It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's humid. I guess they're looking for their dog. Well, after that TV show, people were like, I bet they're stealing ginseng. Mm-hmm. And then they would actually call us. So I think it helped. And then trail cameras. After that TV show, we started getting a lot of trail cameras from people. Somebody carrying a mattock, a digging tool on the trail camera. Prior to that show, then people would have never thought ginseng.
Right.
Somebody that walking through the woods. Well, no, they're digging ginseng.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it helped, personally.
Well, I think anytime you can educate the public on, you know, the crimes that are going in the woods, that's helpful because you're right. They know a lot of them don't pay attention to it. I will say when hunting season rolls around, they pay attention a little more, but those poachers outside of the hunting seasons don't get as much attention because, they're walking their dog or something like that. So to expand that with ginseng is great. Now, I don't think you can ever give enough information to people, especially if they're interested in it. The Appalachian Outlaws sounds like a pretty cool little show.
It was a neat show. They TV'd it up.
Mm-hmm. They would talk like they about do everything. Prices.
They'd be talking about dry ginseng prices. But they were actually showing green ginseng. So,
gotcha.
Real quick fact about that. It's about 1 to 3 or 1 to 4. It would take 3 pounds or 4 pounds of green wet ginseng to equal 1 pound of dry.
Wow.
So they would show a small couple handfuls, but then they would refer to it on TV as a dry price, which was kind of playing with people, but... seemed more important than it was, but
and I'm
I don't
sure the dry price is much higher than a green price.
Yeah, 3 to 4 times higher.
Yeah,
and but other than that, I mean,
will they buy a green and then so the guys are just digging it? They're not having to do that themselves. Dry.
Yeah, they will. The green is more Korean preferred.
Okay.
The dry is more like a China culture preferred. It's all about the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
Balance. It's kind of that belief. They feel that ginseng brings them that balance they need in that culture.
Does it occur naturally in Asian countries?
Yes, but they have kind of decimated their populations.
Gotcha.
Which created the supply and the demand.
That's exactly why I asked that question. They had to have knowledge of it, but you're right. That's exactly, of course, that's what happened to their bears too. And
why they want all our box turtle.
Yep.
That's a big thing, right?
Don't
get box turtle. Oh, you get a box turtle from Ohio over to Hong Kong right now, and it probably costs them $1,000 or something crazy. Just they want them as pets, and it's sad. It's sad what we're trying to combat.
Through the Blackwater Bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
It is for sure. But part of that is education to, again, the general public when they see somebody stop along the roadside to grab a turtle and throws it in the truck. And, you know, they're thinking, oh, yeah, they're going to take that home for a pet or something. But no, they're actually going to sell that turtle illegally and it's going to get shipped to, you know, another country and sold for multiple months. So again, bringing that up certainly helps. So for sure. Yeah, we've talked about turtles on the Warden's Watch show before. Carlos Gomez did a really good case with turtles that he talks about in his episode.
Yeah.
So the three prongs of ginseng, and help me with this. So you sold ginseng, you bought ginseng, you flipped ginseng informants, we'll call them. I forget the technical nicety thing, but they're informants basically. So those are the three prongs of the ginseng.
Yep. Well, I'm trying to get to my results.
Well, the investigation ran from 2018 to 2020 and spanned 21 Ohio counties, resulted in 110 defendants. 110. Just think about that, managing that. Being charged with 259 violations. Charges included the illegal harvest of ginseng, falsification or failure to keep ginseng records, illegal purchase of ginseng, harvest of ginseng without permission, as well as manufacture, possession, and sale of illicit drugs. So again, that drug culture came right into this ginseng. Yeah, it's a massive, massive, massive case. Incredible, those numbers that you were able to... it's incredible just, the intricacy of this case and the commercialization of this. So again, I think it's good that we put that out there, that this is going on, and it could be going on next door to somebody for sure.
Yeah, definitely. The jail time was one of the things that I was really proud of, just knowing I'm in kind of Appalachian Ohio, Southeast Ohio, and all our jails are full. We'll have regional jails, so they may cover 6 or 7 different counties. Well, there's only so many beds for each county.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we pick up people with warrants and there's no room to take them to jail. So we have to cut them loose. But we actually got almost 6 years of jail time served out of this case.
Jeez.
We had almost 8,000 days ordered in, about 5,000 days were suspended, but we had 2,068 days that were actually served, and then a bunch of money.
Yeah.
We were at about $100,000 all said and done between what was forfeited through cash, seizures, and then fines. If you add in the court costs, we're over $100,000 up to $120,000.
Ginseng is big business, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, pretty unheard of.
When you break it, $76,000 in fine, $21,000 in court fees, 268 days served in jail. This is big criminal business. For sure.
I agree. We're pretty proud, the whole team. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Jay Obley. He was kind of our supervisor that was over, had grown up where he works, used to, when he was in the field, made his own ginseng cases, understands the people, and was a great support through the case administratively. And then obviously the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they gave us a couple vehicles. They took the money side of things,
nice,
which is a job in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to account for every penny.
Yeah. And they're wired for that when things go over the borders. That's their job. As it spills out of our states and crosses those borders, that's certainly the job of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and their agents. And they're very good at it. Just to appreciate that when it goes outside of our jurisdiction or our reach. And it gets frustrating to us, but I think they get excited about it that now they're into a case that expands into their jurisdiction.
Yep. And then we started with some ginseng out of Missouri that was from a case there. I think we started with, now granted we had free inventory to get started, but I think it was like $16,000 is what we started with. And we ended with like $120,000 or something crazy is what we ended with.
Yeah.
So that was how much money we made by doing illegal activities. Obviously we didn't make it, but that'll be distributed back out.
But if someone who was illegally doing this, that's certainly the money that they can make and the money that's available in this illegal world of ginseng.
Yeah, and for somebody in one of these 19 states that's listening that wants to start a ginseng operation, we may have some ginseng you get started with.
It's dry.
Our evidence. Just saying, get a hold of me. Kirk Kiefer, Division of Wildlife. I'll give you our whole investigation, and we need to do this in all 19 states, in all honesty, but I'm only in Ohio, so.
Right. You took a bite out of crime in Ohio for sure on the ginseng realm. And this, maybe the first time we're going to hear from Kirk Kiefer, but it's not the last time, because we've already got another podcast canned. That means ready to go in the podcast world. But certainly get that. And Kirk, maybe a rundown of your expertise, because you've got some certainly some tenure with Ohio and have pulled off some other cases as well. So usually we start that at the beginning, but I'm going to end it because it's going to probably roll into so they'll remember you in the next case when we open it up.
Oh, geez. I got 20 years experience. I did 5 years as a uniformed officer. Started out in the northwest part of the state. I'm originally from Indiana. By the way, I tested for New Hampshire. I don't know if I ever told you that.
Yeah, you did tell me. I'm sorry. We made a mistake there. But it worked out for you.
I was like 21 years old. There was one position. I drove up there 3 times. It was the best skiing I ever had when I was up there,
though. Yeah, you were just like me. We were traveling to get the job. We'd go anywhere. So I tested
I would have went there.
I tested in Indiana. I never tested, I don't think, in Ohio. Indiana and Wisconsin is the two those states right in there that I tested in for sure. Sure. Never made it to Ohio.
I've been a wildlife investigator for 15 years. We used to be assigned to districts, but here within the last like 2 years, we're now in a SIU unit, which is a statewide investigative unit. Our numbers have been really cut. So I was always playing catch up, but I'm really playing catch up now. Yeah, I've been involved with anything from deer trafficking to poaching groups to big pollutions to death investigations to ginseng cases. I always find these little niches. Like, I got this ginseng niche. I run a week-long training for our officers for trapping academy, we call it, fur bear enforcement school. I used to be on our waterfowl enforcement team. Just ran out of time for that. Done a little bit of everything, and a jack of all trades, master of none.
I think you just described most game wardens, because it's just it's just part of us, and it's so great to have expertise around like yours, for sure. That the trapping, like you mentioned, the waterfowl, because not everybody is proficient as others. So take those talents that are within your agency and exploit them, for sure, so you can share that knowledge with others. And I think of a lot of the trapping coming in. I trapped as a kid, but how many game wardens coming in, new hires, have ever trapped or been exposed to trapping? I know our school, the White Mountains Community College, as part of their program, they have to take their trapper education and get certified as a trapper. So they're exposed to that. But not a lot of new hires are exposed to that. So I think that is really great that you can do that, because you really have to either get on the same level as the illegal trapper hunter to understand them. Some of us grew up in and around that, so we understand it better. But we need to expose our new hires to things like that. And I'm sure some of the things you go over in trapping is what they'll do illegally and the little tricks of the trade. Just like you do with ginseng.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. We spend a whole week. We overnight everybody for the week, and we start from scratch, from preparing and adjusting traps to catching to skinning. And then we have all kinds of little parts where you switch instructors for the day and you have to find other people's traps. And we have breakout sessions with illegal sets and traps, and we make some stuff like colony traps. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it sounds really cool.
But you mentioned something. You said it's worth mentioning again. Every state, when it comes to game wardens, has multiple people just like you or I that are just phenomenal officers. Well, I hope I'm a phenomenal officer, but game wardens are they're just a unique breed. And I think part of the success of this ginseng case was I got to kind of pick who I wanted, knowing how they are, and that just set it up to succeed. It was just neat, just letting these guys go, and guys and gals, and watching just the cases be made over and over again. Because we got in Ohio, we got We got great state officers, and I can't. I used to not associate with a lot of officers across the state, just because anytime the word covert is brought up, everybody thinks it's kind of got to be secret stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of switched tactics on that, and it has worked out phenomenal. And we set this case up to where everybody knew about it. We blasted out an email that anything ginseng was supposed to come to me. And, you know, we didn't tell people where we were going to be buying, who was buying, when we were buying, for obvious safety reasons. But our officers knew this was going on. And it just worked out really well, because if they got a ginseng complaint, they knew we were working on it and they wanted to be part of it. And they were, I remember through the 2 years, you know, everybody saying, when's the takedown? When's the takedown? When's the takedown? Because we were getting the information from people and making cases and keeping them in the loop. And we were using them for cover officers. And it just, it really taught me a lesson that for safety reasons, there is stuff that needs to be kept quiet. But just because it involves some covert stuff, it does not have to be like super secret type information. Giving a little bit, we received a lot. So that was one weird thing with that case.
That's a good lesson learned, because I know through my tenure, when there was an undercover thing, you didn't know about it. You know, that was like kind of the thing, and that kind of pissed off some game wardens too, that there was undercover operations going within their area that they had no clue about until the final takedown, and it just it rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah, and I've seen that, and that's true, because a lot of people, you know, it's not a job, it's not a career, it's a lifestyle, and somebody really puts their claws into the county they live in.
Yeah,
the county
you take it personal.
In the county that they raise their family in.
Yep, you take it personal when the poacher takes that. There's actually that problem in your area, and then when it's addressed by a different means than you, I think you take it personal. And I think if you were just aware of it, I think that takes the sting out of it, so to speak. And like you said, may produce more information in the long run.
Yeah. So, but that's a fine line. Mm-hmm. That's not a popular belief, but
yeah,
I mean, I have learned to associate. I know officers from across the country that do similar to my job, that do full-time covert work, that do uniform work. And I think that's starting to spread across the country. What we were just talking about, it's starting to be a little bit more open and more teamwork. And I know it worked really well for us. That's all I can say.
So in some, you know, some states don't even have a position like yours. I know my state doesn't, but I can see the value in it, especially now with some big cases that are getting uniformed officers just quagmired because they are so big. And that's what they're spending all of their time on, is, you know, large cases that and a lot of it's just management of all the information and keeping everything straight. And it's, it can be massive. And that's what a good investigator would be handy for, just like in this case.
Yep. You mentioned North Coast earlier. One of the main guys in that was one of my dudes. So, you know, I've been on the flip side of another officer's operation.
Yeah, that's another podcast I did with Ohio Ron Ollis about the North Coast operation. That was what they named that operation. It had deer, it had fish, it had it was pretty. Okay, you guys have done some really big operations, and one reason we're doing this podcast again, it's timely. It's come out into the press, hasn't it, Kirk?
Yes.
Yep.
We just finally did our news release on it. We got everybody through court. And then also ginseng season is going to be coming up. So I always try to get something out annually right before ginseng season, just to remind everybody we're watching, and call us if you catch somebody.
Yeah. And that's why this podcast will be right in the beginning of ginseng season. So again, timely press release, wrapping up the case, talking about the case, the three prongs of ginseng. I'm never going to forget that now, Kirk. Maybe the occasional four, but that's rare. So
yeah, my fourth prong was going to be flip the dealers that we caught
to get the big buyers.
yeah, have them work for us for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It would have just compounded everything. But yeah, and it was probably the right call, especially with COVID. But
yeah, COVID put the brakes on a lot of stuff, including undercover operations.
For other states, I got a training. We've been doing a training probably since 2015.
Nice.
We got training that we put together. And like I said, this was always a brainchild to do this case. And it got tweaked through the years. It got denied through the years. So I was always able to make adjustments to it.
Mm-hmm.
But was started with the ginseng training by getting our people educated about it. We started inviting judges, prosecutors, probation officers, police department, sheriff's office, state patrol. We started inviting all them to where they were working for us. They'd get somebody with ginseng, they'd call us, and it ended up working out really well. So like I say, this operation started in 2015 by providing trainings.
Right.
And then we were finally granted the permission to start it. I think we started September 16th, which we got a late start. And our takedown date, that would have been 2018. And then we got our takedown date was September 10th of 2022. So almost 2 years on the calendar where we actually ran it.
Yeah.
Six days short of 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And then all the time to go through the court system. So here we are today for sure.
Yeah, the federal court. We still have one that's pending.
Mm.
Federal court is, especially after the COVID, it was always extended amount of time to begin with. But
right. Very cool. So just remember the defendants in this case paid a combination of $76,178 in fines. Court fees were $21,633.05, plus $20,871.68 cash was forfeited. So, and the courts ordered a total of 796 days of jail time. 2,068 days were served. The rest was suspended. That is pretty impressive. And additional penalties included probation, community service, lifetime suspension for dealing in ginseng, and suspensions for digging ginseng. So basically, they lost their ginseng privileges. That's a pretty impressive result from a very long-term case. So it's going to be very rewarding to all those officers that work that case for sure.
Yep. They should all be very proud, even if they had just involvement during the takedown, because we couldn't have done it without them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody contributed. It was a good team effort.
Yeah.
I was proud of them.
Yeah, as you should have been. And I really appreciate you joining Warden's Watch to, A, bring this issue into the public eye. So when they see people out there with shovels in September, they know what they're looking for and can pass that information along, whether it's legal or illegal. It's good to know what's going on in the woods for us, I think, for sure.
Yep.
So,
I agree.
Kurt Kiefer, investigator, Ohio DNR. Thanks for being on Warden's Watch and talking about ginseng.
Thank you, Wayne.
Please join me, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and other Game Wardens on our adventures protecting wildlife, saving lives, and having fun, all while serving the public and the natural resources of our planet. Listen to the tales and experience of those who work in the outdoors while being entertained with stories about encounters with poachers, wildlife investigation, murder investigation, near-death experiences, search and rescue missions, wildlife interactions from game wardens around the country and around the world. When I retired, I realized I couldn't let go of that legacy, but rather wanted to share the passion, the commitment, and the stories of those men and women that call themselves game wardens. This is Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.